Brideshead Revisited by Evelyn Waugh, adapted for radio by Jeremy Front, with Ben Miles as Charles, Jamie Bamber as Sebastian, and Benjamin Whitrow as Mr. Ryder. Episode 2. The Venetian Palazzo, where Sebastian's father lived with his mistress, was a little less than it sounded. A narrow Palladian facade, mossy steps, a dark archway of rusticated stone. I was full of curiosity to meet Lord Marchmain, and was first struck by his normality, which, as I saw more of him, I found to be studied. Still, it was odd to think that he was only a few years younger than my father.
And how do you plan to spend your time here? Bathing or sightseeing?
Some sightseeing, anyway.
Carter will like that.
Oh, yes. Do you know, I have been here more times than I can count, and Alex has not once let me inside San Marco.
Charles is very keen on painting.
Yeah. Any particular Venetian painter?
Bellini.
Yes. Which?
I'm afraid I didn't know there were two.
Three, to be precise.
Oh.
You will find that in the great ages, painting was very much a family business. How did you leave England?
It has been lovely.
Was it? Was it? It has been my tragedy that I abominate the English countryside. I suppose it is a disgraceful thing to inherit great responsibilities and to be entirely indifferent to them.
Vittoria Corombona has asked us all to her ball on Saturday.
It's very kind of her, but you know I don't dance.
But for the boys, it is a thing to be seen. The Corombona Palace lit up for the ball.
It sounds magnificent.
It is, and one doesn't know how many such balls there will be in the future.
The boys can do as they like. We must refuse.
And I have asked Mrs. Hacking Brunner to lunch, and she has a charming daughter. Sebastian and his friend will like her.
Sebastian and his friend are more interested in Bellini than heiresses.
The fortnight at Venice passed quickly and sweetly, perhaps too sweetly. I was drowning in honey, stingless.
I think you are very fond of Sebastian.
Certainly.
I know of these romantic friendships of the English and the Germans. They are not Latin. I think they are very good if they do not go on too long. It is better to have that kind of love for another boy than for a girl. Alex had it for a girl, for his wife. Do you think he loves me?
Really, Cora, how should I know? You ask the most embarrassing questions.
He does not. Not the littlest piece.
If that were true, why does he stay with you?
Because I protect him from Lady Marchmain.
Does he need protecting?
He hates her. Oh. You can have no conception how he hates her. So calm and English, the milord, rather blasé, old passion dead. My friend, he is a volcano of hate. He will not set foot in England because it is her home. He can scarcely be happy with Sebastian because he is her son. But Sebastian hates her, too.
Oh, no, I'm sure you're wrong there.
He may not admit it to you. He may not admit it to himself. But they are full of hate. Hate of themselves. Alex and his family. Why do you think he will never go into society?
I always thought people had turned against him.
People turn against a handsome, clever, wealthy man like Alex. Never in your life. It is he who has driven them away. And all for Lady Marchmain. He will not touch a hand which might have touched hers.
Surely not. What can she have done to deserve such hatred?
Nothing except to be loved by someone who has not grown up. When people hate with all that energy, it is something in themselves they are hating. Alex is hating all the illusions of boyhood, innocence, God, hope. Poor Lady Marchmain has to bear all that. Now, Alex is very fond of me, and I protect him from his own innocence. We are comfortable.
That I can see.
Sebastian is in love with his own childhood. That will make him very unhappy. His teddy bear, his nanny. He's 19 years old, Charles. Ah, how good it is to sit in the shade and talk of love. Sebastian drinks too much.
I suppose we both do.
With you, it doesn't matter. With Sebastian, it is different. Alex was nearly a drunkard when I met him. It's in the blood. I see it in the way Sebastian drinks. It is not your way.
We returned to London, arriving back on the day before term began. On the way from Charing Cross, I dropped Sebastian in the forecourt of Marchmain House.
Here we are again. Marches. I won't ask you in. The place is probably full of my family.
Thank you, Sebastian.
What for?
Venice.
It was rather lovely, wasn't it? We'll meet in Oxford!
But soon the autumnal mood possessed us both, as though the exuberance of June had died with the gillyflowers, whose scent at my windows now yielded to the damp leaves, smouldering in the corner of the quad.
I feel precisely 100 years old.
What's the matter?
Oh, I've had a talking to from Monsignor Bell this afternoon. That's the fourth since I came up. My tutor, the junior dean, Mr. Samgrass of All Souls, and now Monsignor Bell.
Who is Mr. Samgrass of All Souls?
Oh, just someone of Mummy's. They all say that I made a very bad start last year, that I have been noticed, and that if I don't mend my ways, I shall get sent down. How does one mend one's ways?
I'm not sure. Join the League of Nations, perhaps. Or read Isis every week.
Or drink morning coffee at the Cadena Cafe and smoke a great pipe. And play hockey and go out to tea at Boar's Hill and to lectures at Keeble. And ride a bicycle with a little tray full of notebooks and drink cocoa in the evenings and discuss sex seriously.
I'm sorry, Sebastian, there's no hope for you.
Oh, Charles, what's happened since last term? I feel so old.
I feel middle-aged. That's infinitely worse. I believe we've had all the fun we can expect here. Oh. Have you heard about Anthony Blanche?
But don't tell me he's been ducked in Mercury again. I don't know why Antoine taunts the college hearties. It always ends in trouble.
He's gone down.
Has he? Why?
He wrote to me. Apparently he's taken a flat in Munich and formed an attachment to a policeman there.
Oh. I shall miss him.
I suppose I shall too, in a way.
Oh, this is no way to start a term.
It was in this subdued state of mind that Lady Marchmain found Sebastian when, early in that Michaelmas term, she came for a week to Oxford.
Sebastian, Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you had...
It's all right, Charles, come in. Mummy, this is my friend, Charles Ryder.
How do you do, Mr. Ryder?
Lady Marchmain.
I've heard so much about you from Cordelia.
I shouldn't take any notice of anything Cordelia's told you.
This is Mr. Samgrass.
Mr. Ryder.
Sebastian tells me you're at All Souls.
Indeed so.
Mr. Samgrass is being kind enough to help me with a memorial book about my late brother.
I can assure you, your ladyship, it is no hardship working with such fascinating material.
My brother was killed in the war, and he left a quantity of papers.
Including some very fine poems, if I may say.
That's kind of you. But you see, that's my problem, Mr. Ryder. I naturally find Ned's words extremely poignant. But I'm too close to them to make dispassionate editorial decisions.
Which is where you come in, hey, Mr. Samgrass?
I try to bring a little intellectual rigour to the editorial process.
A young history don, Samgrass was short, plump, and dapper in dress. Lady Marchmain could not have found a greater contrast to herself than this intellectual on the make. Towards the end of the week, Sebastian said...
You and Mummy are very thick.
Are we?
I warned you how madly charming my family is.
You know she's invited me to stay at Brideshead next vacation.
Will you come?
Would you like me to?
Of course I would, Charles.
In that case, I shall.
One Monday morning, a week or two later, I was in Sebastian's room, waiting for him to return.
Sebastian, are you decent? Charles?
I'm afraid Sebastian's at a tutorial.
Is he really? Well, well. Oh, this is Mr. Mottram.
How do you do?
Hello.
Mr. Ryder very kindly rescued me from nursing duties when Sebastian injured himself last summer.
A noble act indeed.
Let me near the fire, Charles. It's positively arctic outside.
You think this is cold? You ought to experience a Canadian winter.
I really think I ought not. Will Sebastian be long?
He should be back any time.
Oh, we hoped he might give us some luncheon. Failing him, we can always try Boy Mulcaster. But I somehow thought we should eat rather better with Sebastian. And we're very hungry.
Mm-hmm. Boy and Sebastian are both lunching with me. Won't you come too?
Rex Mottram's life, so far as he made it known, began in the war, where he got a military cross serving with the Canadians. A handsome fellow, we quickly learned that he was lucky with money, a member of Parliament, a gambler, and a good fellow.
Has anyone seen London Calling yet?
I haven't been to the theatre in an age. Mm.
Is that the Noel Coward?
Yes, we saw it last week. Gertie got his complimentary tickets.
Gertie?
Gertrude Lawrence.
Is there anyone you don't know, Rex?
Mm. Remember, he's a colonial, darling. It's his job to know everyone. I think he keeps a little book and ticks the names off as he meets them.
Well, when you move in particular circles, you get to know these people.
Were you up at Oxford, Rex?
Me? No. Just means you start life 3 years behind the other fellow.
We were slightly surprised a week later to get a telegram from him asking us and Boy to dinner in London for a party of Julia's.
Why do you think he's invited us?
I don't think he knows anyone young. All his friends are leathery old sharks in the city, in the House of Commons.
Why does he want Boy?
Julia and I have known him all our lives. I suppose finding him at lunch with you, Rex thought he was a chum. I could try to borrow Hardcastle's car again and we could drive up.
We were to spend the night at Marchmain House. We went there to dress, and while we dressed, drank a bottle of champagne.
Hello, boys. Don't you look smart? And drinking already, I see.
Why aren't you changed?
I know. I'm going to be late. You'd better go on to Rex's. It's heavenly of you to come.
What is this party?
A ghastly charity ball I'm involved with. Rex insisted on giving a dinner party for it. See you there.
After you, boy.
Cheers.
Sebastian and I found ourselves drinking alone together, as we always did. At length, Julia arrived, unhurried, exquisite, unrepentant.
You shouldn't have let him wait.
That's what I said.
It's his Canadian courtesy.
Julia, Brenda, come here. There's someone I want you to meet.
Very well.
I say, let's slip away from the ghastly dance and go to Ma Mayfield's.
Who's Ma Mayfield?
You know, Ma Mayfield. Everyone knows Ma Mayfield of the Old Hundredth.
I don't. Do you, Charles?
What's the Old Hundredth?
You'll like it. I've got a regular there, a sweet little thing called Effie. It'll be the devil to pay if Effie hears I've been to London and hadn't been to see her. Come and meet Effie at Ma Mayfield's.
What do you think?
All right.
Excellent. I'll just take another bottle of pop off the good Mottram.
Do you know where this place is?
Of course I do. 100 Sink Street, just off Leicester Square.
We could have walked or taken a taxi.
No. Always better to have one's own car on an occasion like this.
Here we are. Doesn't look too salubrious, boy.
It's fine once you're inside.
You're not going in, are you?
We most certainly are.
You'll be poisoned.
Sure, this is a good idea, boy.
Yes, yes, come along.
You members.
The name is Mulcaster. Viscount Mulcaster.
Try inside.
You'll be robbed, gents. Robbed, poisoned and infected. And robbed!
Members?
I like that. You ought to know me by now.
Yes, dearie, 10 bob.
Oh, look here, I've never paid before.
I dare say not, dearie, but we're full up tonight, so it's 10 bob. You're lucky anyone who comes in after you will have to pay a quid.
Let me speak to Ma Mayfield.
I am Ma Mayfield.
Yes, of course. Why, Ma, I didn't recognise you and all your finery. You know me, don't you? Boy, Mulcaster.
Yes, ducky. 10 bob each.
What are you drinking, gents?
A bottle of your finest champagne. Oh, and tell Effie Boy's here, will you?
Effie who?
Effie. One of the girls here. The pretty, dark one.
There's a lot of girls work here. Some of them's dark and some of them's fair. I haven't got the time to know them all by name.
Must remember to tip him.
I'll go and look for Effie.
Have you ever been to a place like this before?
Never
quite like this. Charles, I think those two girls are looking at us. If they come over, which one do you like?
The choice of the death's head or the sickly child.
Oh, they're going away. They must have heard you.
Disappointment I'll learn to live with.
Here she is. Charles, Sebastian, allow me to introduce Effie.
Here's your bacon and eggs.
Oh, Tar.
We didn't order bacon.
Lady's got to eat, sir.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
That's another six bob, sir.
Right.
Don't mind me, gents. First bite I've had all evening. Only thing that's any good is the breakfast. Makes you fair peckish hanging around.
I can imagine.
I've seen you here before, haven't I?
I'm afraid not.
But I've seen you.
Oh, well, I should rather hope so. You haven't forgotten our little evening in September.
No, darling, course not. You were the boy in the guards who cut your toe, weren't you?
Now, Effie, don't be a tease.
Nah, that was another night. I know. You were with Bunty the time the police were in, and we all hid in that place they keep the dustbins.
Effie loves pulling my leg, don't you? She's annoyed with me for staying away so long, aren't you?
Whatever you say. I know I have seen you before somewhere.
Stop teasing.
I weren't teasing, honest. Want to dance?
Not at the minute.
Thank God for that. The shoes pinched, something terrible tonight.
Those two girls are back. I'm going to ask them over.
Are you sure that's a good...
Ladies, won't you join us?
Well, I've got a better idea. How about a little party? Just the six of us over at my place.
Certainly.
It's funny, but we thought you were a couple of fairies when you come in.
That was our extreme youth.
Oh, you're a spool. Isn't he a spool?
Yes, a terribly good sport.
You're very sweet, really.
Thank you.
I must just tell Ma Mayfield we're going out. Take the next right turn. Right into Shaftesbury Avenue.
Oh, why didn't you say Shaftesbury Avenue?
You bloody idiot!
For Christ's sake, look where you're going. Do you want to murder us all?
Careless fellow, that cabbie.
We'll be on the other side of the road.
So we should.
Here, stop. I'd sooner walk.
Certainly.
Let me out of this, you madman.
Effie, don't go.
What seems to be the problem here?
Oh, God.
Let me talk to
Effie.
You.
Effie.
I'm sorry if I'm impeding the traffic, officer, but the lady insisted on my stopping for her to get out. Matter of nerves, you know.
No, sir, I don't know.
Be a sport, handsome. No one's seen anything but you. The boys didn't mean any harm.
Is that so?
I'll get him into a taxi and I'll see him home.
Well, I suppose.
Look here, my good man. There's no need for you to notice anything. We've just come from Ma Mayfield's. I reckon she pays a nice retainer to keep your eyes shut. Well, you can keep them shut on us too, and you won't be the loser by it.
I say, Charles, are you there?
Yes.
Is that boy snoring?
Yes. And I think he's got a damn nerve going to sleep after getting us into this.
It's a hell of a business.
Can't we get bail or something?
Rex Marchram, here's the man. He'd be in his element here. Constable! Constable! I wish to speak to the officer in charge.
We had to do our duty, you understand.
Of course, Sergeant.
We really took the young men into custody for their own protection.
Of course, and I'm sure that they are duly contrite.
Actually, I'm pretty damned angry, and I wish to make a formal complaint.
Shut up, boy. Yes,
I have been denied legal representation, and consequently my civil rights as a citizen...
You better leave all the talking to me. Hmm. Now, Sergeant... Would you like a cigar, by the way?
Oh, that's very civil of you, sir.
Now, let's see how best we can resolve this little problem, shall we? Morning, boys. Come along. There's a busy day ahead. It's important to make a good appearance at court. Luckily, none of you look much the worse for wear.
Thanks for sorting things out, Rex.
Yes, thank you.
It's not over yet. Sebastian's in a jam.
Why me?
You're liable to anything up to 6 months imprisonment for being drunk in charge of a car.
What? This is all your fault, boy.
I like that.
You'll come up before Grig, unfortunately. He takes a rather grim view of cases of this sort. But all that'll happen this morning is that we'll ask to have Sebastian held over for a week to prepare a defense. Charles and Boy, you will plead guilty, say you're sorry, and pay your $5 fine. I'll see what can be done about squaring the evening papers. On no account, make any reference to the old 100th.
The police already know we were there.
Now, never mind that. The tarts were sober and aren't being charged. But their names have been taken as witnesses. If we contest the police evidence, they'll be called, and we have got to avoid that at all costs.
This is a nightmare.
We'll need a Don to give evidence of good character. Julia tells me you've got a tame one called Sam Grass. He'll do.
Oh, no.
Now, meanwhile, your story is simply that you came up from Oxford for a perfectly respectable dance, weren't used to wine, had too much, and lost the way driving home. After that, we'll have to see about fixing things with your authorities at Oxford.
I told them to call my solicitors, and they refused. They've put themselves hopelessly in the wrong, and I don't see why they should get away with it.
Well, for heaven's sake, don't start an argument. Just plead guilty and pay up. You understand?
Everything happened at court as Rex had predicted. At 10:30, we stood in Bow Street. Malkester and I, free men. Sebastian bound over to appear in a week's time.
Well, that's that.
For you, maybe.
Yes. Well, I've got some business to attend to, so see you back at Oxford.
Oh, I suppose Mummy's got to hear about it.
I don't see how you can conceal it.
Damn, damn, damn. I won't go home. I have nowhere to go. Let's just slip back to Oxford and wait for them to bother us.
Why not get hold of Julia?
I might go abroad.
My dear Sebastian, you'll only be given a talking to and fined a few pounds.
Yes, but it's all the bother. Mummy and Bridie and all the family and the Dons. I'd sooner go to prison. If I just slip abroad, they can't get me back, can they? That's what people do when the police are after them. I know Mummy will make it seem as she has to bear the whole brunt of the business.
Come on, let's telephone Julia.
Well, you are a pair of pickles. I must say, you look remarkably well on it.
I don't feel well.
The only time I got tight, I was paralysed all the next day. I do think you might have taken me with you. The ball was positively lethal, and I've always longed to go to the old 100th. Is it heaven?
So you know all about that, too?
Rex telephoned me this morning and told me everything. What were your girlfriends like?
Don't be prurient.
Mine was like a skull.
Mine was like a consumptive.
Oh, goodness.
Does Mummy know?
Not about your skulls and consumptives. She knows you were in the clink, I told her. She was divine about it, of course.
Was she?
You know, anything Uncle Ned did was always perfect, and he got locked up once for taking a bear into one of Lloyd George's meetings. So she really feels quite human about the whole thing. Oh, she wants you both to have lunch with her.
Oh, God.
The only trouble is the papers and the family. Poor Mummy's in for a ghastly time with them.
We lunched with Lady Marchmain, who accepted the whole thing with humorous resignation. A week later, when Sebastian came up for trial, he was fined £10, and the newspapers reported it all with painful prominence. Mr. Samgrass gave evidence that Sebastian bore an irreproachable character. At Oxford, he interviewed the college authorities, the proctors, and the vice-chancellor, and as a result, the three of us were merely gated for the rest of term. When, after Christmas, I arrived at Brideshead, I found Mr. Samgrass, as though in wait for me, sitting alone before the fire in the room they called the Tapestry Hall.
You find me in solitary possession, Charles.
Mr. Samgrass, what a pleasant surprise.
Lady Marchmain was kind enough to invite me. Come, join me by the fire. Thank you. All our young friends are fox hunting. Even Sebastian, who, you will not be surprised to hear, looked remarkably elegant in his pink coat.
You weren't tempted to join them? Who else is here?
Oh, there's a convalescent Dominican, Sage and Porson, of course, and two rather forbidding Magyar cousins. I've tried them in German and French, but in neither tongue are they diverting. All these have driven off with our hostess to visit a neighbour, so I have been spending a cosy afternoon before the fire. Your arrival emboldens me to ring for some tea.
Is Julia here?
Lady Julia departs to celebrate the New Year elsewhere. And takes the beau monde with her.
Sir?
Ah, could we have some tea sent up, please?
Sir.
I shall miss the pretty creatures about the house. particularly one Celia, the sister of our old companion in adversity, Boy Mulcaster, and wonderfully unlike him. She has a bird-like style of conversation and a school monitor style of dress which I can only call saucy.
How's the book coming along?
I start in earnest tomorrow.
Draw me a bath, Wilcox.
It is a treasure house of period gems. Pure, authentic 1914.
Charles! You're here. When did you arrive?
Not long ago. Mr. Samgrass has been keeping me entertained.
A successful morning, I trust?
Not especially. I lost the hunt early and hacked home.
Sebastian, you're back early. And Charles, so pleased you could join us.
Happy Christmas, Lady Marchmain.
And a happy Christmas to you, too. Who's coming to chapel for the rosary?
I don't think Charles will be interested.
I'm afraid not.
We really must make a Catholic of you, Charles.
I don't think I'm really Catholic material.
I'll come along if I may, Lady Marchmain.
Of course. Sebastian?
I must have a bath at once.
Looks as if it's just you and me, Mr. Samgrass.
Will Lady Julia be joining us?
I'm afraid not. She's been about...
I wish Mr. Samgrass would go. I'm sick of being grateful to him.
Why is he here?
Mummy. Come and talk to me while I change.
In the course of the next fortnight, distaste for Mr. Samgrass came to be a little unspoken secret throughout the house. Religion predominated both in practice and conversation. I had many little talks with Lady Marchmain, during which she delicately steered the subject into a holy quarter.
When I was a girl, we were comparatively poor, but still much richer than most of the world. And when I married, I became very rich. It used to worry me.
I don't think it would worry me.
I thought it wrong to have so many beautiful things when other people had nothing. Now I realize that it is possible for the rich to sin by coveting the privileges of the poor.
Are the poor so privileged?
They've always been the favorites of God and his saints. But I believe that it is one of the special achievements of grace to sanctify the whole of life, riches included.
I thought it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
But of course it is very unexpected for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But the gospel is simply a catalogue of unexpected things. Animals are always doing the oddest things in the lives of the saints. It's all part of the poetry, the Alice in Wonderland side of religion.
But I was as untouched by her faith as I was by her charm. I had no mind then for anything except Sebastian, and I saw him as already being threatened, though I did not know yet how black was the threat. After a fortnight, he said,
I can't stand Mr. Samgrass any more. Let's go to London.
And so he came to stay with me. We returned to Oxford, but the sadness that had been strong in Sebastian the term before now became a kind of sullenness, even towards me. When he was gay now, it was usually because he was drunk, and when drunk, he developed an obsession with mocking Samgrass, either serenading him under his windows.
Greener Samgrass, Samgrass greener.
Or on the telephone.
Hello?
Green ass, Samgrass, Samgrass, green ass.
Very amusing, Sebastian. Now, why don't you go and sober up?
Why don't you go...
Good night, Sebastian.
It was during this term that I began to realise that Sebastian was a drunkard in quite a different sense to myself. I got drunk often, but through an excess of high spirits. Sebastian drank to escape. The Easter party at Brideshead was a bitter time. Sebastian had been drinking hard for a week.
What's become of Sebastian?
I haven't seen him all day.
All right.
He's gone to lie down. His cold's worse.
Oh, dear. I hope he isn't getting flu. I thought he had a feverish look once or twice lately.
Mm.
Is there anything he wants?
No, he particularly asked not to be disturbed.
Poor thing.
Perhaps I'll call in to see him on my way up to dress.
Oh, I really wouldn't. Julia.
Hmm?
Sebastian's drunk.
He can't be. He didn't even come for a cocktail.
He's been drinking in his room all afternoon.
Oh, very peculiar. What a bore he is. Will he be all right for dinner?
No.
Well, you must deal with him. It's no business of mine. Does he do this often?
He has lately.
How very boring.
Yes?
It's me. Can I come in?
Hold on. Come in, then.
Oh, God, look at you.
Feeling rather drunk. Think I'd better have something on a tray up here. Not dinner with Mummy.
Go to bed.
Yes.
I'll say your cold's worse.
Much worse.
Was this decanter full when you brought it up here?
Yes.
I'll take it back.
You put that down.
Don't be an ass, Sebastian. You've had enough.
What the devil's it got to do with you? You're only a guest here. My guest. I drink what I want to in my own house.
Very well. Only for God's sake, keep it out of sight.
Oh, mind your own business. You came here as my friend. Now you're spying on me for my mother.
Don't be absurd.
I know. Well, you can get out. And tell her from me that I'll choose my friends and she her spies in future.
Ah, Charles. Sorry I'm late. I've been in to see Sebastian. His cold has come on rather badly. He's gone to bed and says he doesn't want anything.
Poor Sebastian. You'd better have a glass of hot whiskey. I'll go and have a look at him.
Oh, don't, Mummy. I'll go.
I'll go.
I really think you'd prefer
Shall
to...
Shall I be a minute?
I popped in to have a look at your painting earlier, Charles.
Oh, it's still in a rather unfinished state.
I like it.
Thank you.
It reminds me of Claude. All those feathery trees and ruins and allusions to classical antiquity.
I'm flattered to be mentioned in such luminous company.
The garden room will look lovely when it's finished.
You were right, Charles. He doesn't seem to want anything.
How was he?
Well, I don't know. But I think he's rather drunk.
Cordelia! Charles, is this true?
Yes.
Dinner is served.
We went into the dining room where the subject was not mentioned. When Brideshead and I were left alone, he said...
Did you say Sebastian was drunk?
Yes.
Extraordinary time to choose. Couldn't you stop him?
No.
No. I don't suppose you could. I once saw my father drunk in this room. I wasn't more than about 10 at the time. You can't stop people if they want to get drunk. My mother couldn't stop my father, you know.
The more I saw of this family, the more singular I found them. But the horrors of that evening were not yet over.
Well, I think I shall visit the chapel before bed, if anyone would care to join me.
Come to apologise.
Sebastian, dear, do go back to your room. We can talk about it in the morning.
Not to you. Come to apologise to Charles.
There's really no...
I was bloody to you, and you're my guest. He's my guest... And my friend, and I was bloody to him.
Come on. Let me take you to your room.
Thank you, Charles. You're the best friend a fellow could have. Yes.
Time you were in bed.
Bed, yes. Why'd you take their side against me?
I don't, Sebastian, really.
I knew you would if I let you meet them.
He said more than I can bear to remember, even at 20 years' distance. At last I got him to sleep and very sadly went to bed myself.
What the hell? Sebastian!
Morning. I've been down to the stables trying to get a car, but everything was locked. We're off. Cigarette?
No. What do you mean off? Where are you going?
I don't know. London, I suppose. Can I come and stay with you?
Of course.
Well, get dressed. They can send our luggage on by train.
We can't just go like this.
We can't stay. There's smoke coming from some of the chimneys. They must have opened the stables. Come on.
I can't just go. I must say goodbye to your mother.
Sweet bulldog.
Well, I don't happen to like running away.
And I couldn't care less. And I shall go on running away as far and as fast as I can. You can hatch up any plot you like with my mother. I shan't come back.
That's how you talked last night.
I know. I'm sorry, Charles. I told you I was still drunk. If it's any comfort to you, I absolutely detest myself.
It's no comfort at all.
It must be a little, I should have thought. Well, if you won't come, give my love to Nanny.
You're really going?
Of course.
Well,
Shall I see you in London?
Yes, I'm coming to stay with you.
Charles.
I don't want to disturb you.
Not at all. Just a little pretty point. Come, sit by me.
I wanted to let you know that I'll be leaving this afternoon.
Oh, I shall miss you. Will you be seeing Sebastian?
Yes. He'll be staying with me.
Good. I wish I had not seen him like that.
Last night?
It was cruel. I don't mind the idea of his being drunk. It's a thing all men do when they're young. What hurt last night was that there was nothing happy about him.
I know. I've never seen him like that
before.
Last
night of all nights, when everyone had gone and only ourselves here. You see, Charles, I look on you very much as one of ourselves, and Sebastian loves you. I can't bear to see him so unhappy.
It was horrible, but please don't think that's his usual way.
Mr. Samgrass told me he was drinking too much all last term.
Yes, but not like that. Never before.
Then why now? Here, with us? All night I've been thinking and praying and wondering what I was to say to him, and now this morning he isn't here at all. That was cruel of him, leaving without a word.
I know.
I don't want him to be ashamed. It's being ashamed that makes it all so wrong of him.
He's ashamed of being unhappy.
I believe you and he tease Mr. Samgrass, rather.
Yes.
It's naughty of you. I'm very fond of Mr. Samgrass, and you should be too, after all he's done for you. But I think if I were your age and a man, I might be just a little inclined to tease him myself. But last night, you see, it's all happened before.
I can only say I've been drunk with him often, but last night was
quite...
Oh,
I don't mean Sebastian. I mean years ago. I've been through it all before with... Well, you must know what I mean.
Yes.
His father used to be drunk in just that way. Someone told me he's not like that. Now, I pray God it's true. He ran away too, you know. It was as you said just now. He was ashamed of being unhappy. Both of them. Unhappy, ashamed, and running away. I simply don't understand it. Do you, Charles?
Only very little.
And yet Sebastian is fonder of you than of any of us, you know. You've got to help him. I can't.
It was an hour before she had said all she meant to say. Then, as I rose to leave her, she added, as though in an afterthought,
I wonder, have you seen my brother's book? It has just come out.
I looked through a copy in Sebastian's room.
I should like you to have a copy. May I give you one?
Yes, of course. Thank you.
They were three splendid men, my brothers. Ned was the best of them. He was the last to be killed. When the telegram came, as I knew it would come, I thought, now it's my son's turn to do what Ned can never do. I was alone then. Sebastian was just going to Eton. If you read Ned's book, you'll understand. Let me write in it for you. There.
Thank you.
I prayed for you too in the night.
I was no fool. I was old enough to know that an attempt had been made to suborn me, and young enough to have found the experience agreeable. In the train to London, I read the book Lady Marchmain had given me. Mr. Samgrass's deft editorship had assembled a curiously homogeneous little body of writing. I wondered, as the train carried me farther and farther from Lady Marchmain, whether perhaps there was not on her, too, the same blaze, marking her and hers for destruction by other ways than war.
Charles!
You seem considerably jollier than you were this morning.
It must be the clean London air.
Cordelia sent you her special love.
And did you have a little talk with Mummy?
Yes.
Have you gone over to her side?
No.
Oh.
I'm with you, Sebastian. Contra mundum.
Thank you, Charles.
But the shadows were closing around Sebastian. We returned to Oxford, and once again the gillyflowers bloomed under my windows. But it was not as it had been. We looked for lodgings for the coming term and found them in Merton Street, a secluded, expensive little house near the tennis court.
Hello, Charles.
Oh, hello.
And what have we here? Oh, yes, that's good. I haven't read that, but hear favourable reports. I hear you're planning to share digs with Sebastian.
Yes.
So he is coming up this term.
Why shouldn't he be?
I don't know. I somehow thought perhaps he wouldn't. I'm always wrong about things like that. I like Merton Street.
So do we.
Your books, sir.
Thank you.
Can I help you, sir?
Just this, please. Have you read the Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus, Charles?
I don't believe I have.
Word is this fellow Wittgenstein's a great new mind.
Really?
Don't think me interfering, you know. But I shouldn't make any definite arrangement in Merton Street until you're sure.
But I shouldn't make any definite arrangement in Merton Street until you're sure.
Yes, there's a plot on. Drink?
Oh, thanks. Is this a real plot? Or something you've conjured up in your imagination?
Oh, it's real enough. Mummy wants me to go and live with Monsignor Bell.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I'm not going to live with Monsignor Bell.
I still think you might have told me about it. When did it start?
Oh, it's been going on. Mummy's very clever, you know. She saw she'd failed with you. I expect it was the letter you wrote after reading Uncle Ned's book.
I hardly said anything.
That was it. If you were going to be any help to her, you would have said a lot. Uncle Ned is the test, you know.
But it seemed she had not quite despaired. For a few days later, I got a note from her.
I shall be passing through Oxford on Tuesday and hope to see you and Sebastian for luncheon. I should like to see you alone for 5 minutes before I see him. Is that too much to ask? I will come to your rooms at about 12.
What charming rooms.
I rather like them.
My brother Simon and Ned were here, you know. Oh, and what a lovely drawing. It must be one of yours.
It is.
Everyone loves your paintings in the garden room. We shall never forgive you if you don't finish them. I expect you've guessed already what I've come to ask. Is Sebastian drinking too much this term?
If he were, I shouldn't answer. As it is, I can say no.
I believe you. Thank God.
Seated one day at the organ, I was weary and ill at ease, and my fingers wandered idly over the noisy keys. I know not what I was playing or what I was dreaming then, but I struck one chord of music like the voice of a great amen.
Lady Marchmain came to see me again. We talked as we walked.
You must believe me that when I told you Sebastian was not drinking, I was telling you the truth as I knew it.
I know you wish to be a good friend.
That's
to
not
him.
What I mean. I believed what I told you. I still believe it to some extent.
Charles.
I believe he has been drunk 2 or 3 times before. Not more.
It's no good, Charles. All you can mean is that you have not as much influence or knowledge of him as I thought. It's no good to either of us trying to believe him. I've known drunkards before. Love of truth is the first thing that goes. You know I had been doubtful about his sharing rooms with you.
Yes.
You also know that we are all fond of you, apart from your being Sebastian's friend. We should miss you so much if you ever stopped coming to stay with us. But I want Sebastian to have all sorts of friends, not just one.
You can't force someone to make friendships.
Monsignor Bell tells me he never mixes with the other Catholics, never goes to the Newman, very rarely goes to Mass even. Heaven forbid that he should know only Catholics, but he must know some. Needs a very strong faith to stand entirely alone, and Sebastian's isn't strong.
You know I don't share your faith.
Of course.
Nor can I be expected to persuade Sebastian against his will.
I wouldn't expect such a thing. But after his behaviour on Tuesday night... No, Charles... It is not the logic of the thing.
Well, have you a remedy?
The college are being extremely kind. They say they will not send him down, provided he goes to live with Monsignor Bell.
Lady Marchmain, if you want to make him a drunkard, that's the way to do it.
I'm afraid I must disagree.
Don't you see that any idea of his being watched would be fatal?
Oh, dear, it's no good trying to explain. Protestants always think Catholic priests are spies.
I don't mean that, but surely you can see Sebastian must feel free.
But he's been free up till now, and look at the result.
I take it you've just come from Mummy.
You know.
I'm going to cable Papa. He won't let them force me into this priest's house.
But if they make it a condition of your coming up.
I shan't come up.
Sebastian!
Can you imagine me serving Mass twice a week, being explained when I was out of the room as the rather embarrassing local inebriate who's been taken in because his mother is so charming?
I told her it wouldn't do.
Shall we get really drunk tonight?
It's the one time it could do no conceivable harm.
Contra mundum.
Contra mundum.
Bless you, Charles. There aren't many evenings left to us.
Next day, Lady Marchmain left Oxford, taking Sebastian with her.
What about these items?
The skull's mine, the Chinese vase is Sebastian's.
My mother believes Sebastian is a confirmed drunkard.
I know.
Is he?
He's in danger of becoming one.
I believe God prefers drunkards to a lot of respectable people.
For God's sake, why bring God into everything?
I'm sorry. I forgot. But you know, that's an extremely funny question.
Is it?
To me, not to you.
It seems to me that without your religion, Sebastian would have the chance to be a happy and healthy man.
It's arguable. Do you think he'll need this elephant's foot again?
Sebastian gone, I was the loneliest man in Oxford. I got through the remainder of the term somehow, then returned to London with no plans made.
That very good-looking friend of yours, is he not with you?
No.
Ah, sorry. I liked him.
Father, do you particularly want me to take my degree?
I want you to? Good gracious, why should I want such a thing? There's no use to me. There's not much use to you either, as far as I can see.
That's exactly what I've been thinking. I thought perhaps it was rather a waste of time going back to Oxford.
You've been sent down?
No.
My brother warned me of this.
I've not been sent down.
Well, then what's all the talk about? Everyone stays up at least 3 years. I knew one man who took 7 years to get a pass degree in theology.
I only thought that if I was not going to take up one of the professions where a degree is necessary, it might be best to start now on what I intend doing.
And what is that?
I intend to be a painter.
To this, my father made no answer at the time. The idea, however, seemed to take root in his mind, and by the time we spoke of the matter again, it was firmly established.
When you're a painter, you'll need a studio.
Yes.
Well, there isn't a studio here. There isn't a room you could use decently as a studio. Well, I'm not going to have you painting in the gallery.
No, I never meant to.
Nor will I have undraped models all over the house. Nor critics with their horrible jargon. And I don't like the smell of turpentine. I presume you intend to do the thing thoroughly and use oil paint?
I don't suppose I shall do much painting in the first year.
No?
Anyway, I should be working at a school.
Oh, abroad. There's excellent schools abroad, I believe.
I should like to have a look round first.
Yeah, well, look round abroad.
Then you agree to my leaving Oxford?
Agree? Agree, my dear boy. You're 22.
20.
Hmm?
21 in October.
Is that all? Oh, seems much longer.
A few days later, I received a letter from Lady Marchmain.
My dear Charles, Sebastian left me this morning to join his father abroad. The college has sent him down for a term only and will take him back after Christmas on condition he goes to live with Monsignor Bell. It is for him to decide. Meanwhile, Mr. Samgrass has very kindly consented to take charge of him. As soon as his visit to his father is over, Mr. Samgrass will pick him up and they will go together to the Levant. When they come home at Christmas, I know Sebastian will want to see you, and so shall we all.
Yours sincerely, Teresa Marchmain.
Now, this photograph is the caravan at Aleppo in the courtyard of the inn. That's our Armenian cook, Begid Biam.
It was 2 days after Christmas, and my first evening back at Brideshead.
That's me on a pony. And that's the tent folded up.
Cordelia, sorry.
It was also Sebastian and Mr. Samgrass's first evening since returning from their trip to the Levant.
Ah, now, I took this just as we reached the top of the pass. Then we heard the galloping horses behind, and two soldiers rode up and turned us back. The general had sent them, and they reached us only just in time. There was a band not a mile ahead.
A band? Goodness.
I suppose the sort of folk music great in those parts is very monotonous.
Dear Lady Marchmain, a band of brigands.
Quiet, Cordelia.
The mountains are full of them. Stragglers from Kamal's army. Greeks who got cut off in the retreat. Very desperate fellows, I can assure you.
Do pinch me, Charles. Ow! So, you never got to wherever it was?
Sadly not.
Weren't you terribly disappointed, Sebastian?
Hmm? Me? I don't think I was there that day, was I, Sammy?
That was the day you were ill.
I was ill.
Oh, that's a rather tiresome curd.
It was plain to anyone with a poker sense that Mr. Samgrass held a very imperfect hand. And, as I watched him, I began to suspect that he was not only bluffing, but cheating. There was something he must say, did not want to say, and did not quite know how to say to Lady Marchmain about the whole Levantine tour.
Batum? Of course I haven't got them in chronological order yet.
All guides and ruins and mules. Where's Sebastian?
He held the camera. He became quite an expert as soon as he learned not to put his hand over the lens, didn't you, Sebastian? Here's a group taken by a street photographer on the terrace of the St. George Hotel at Beirut. There's Sebastian.
Isn't that Anthony Blanche?
Yes, we saw quite a lot of him. Met him by chance at Constantinople. A delightful companion. He came with us all the way to Beirut, didn't he, Sebastian?
Come and see Nanny, Charles.
Can I come too? Aren't you at all pleased to be home?
Of course I'm pleased.
Well, you might show it a bit. I've been looking forward to it so much.
Come in. Hello, Nanny.
Hello.
Hello, dears. Ooh, you are looking peaky, Sebastian. I expect it's all that foreign food. Looks as though you've been having some late nights, too.
One or two.
I can see it in your eyes. Dancing, I suppose. Oh, and that shirt needs darning. Bring it to me before it goes to the wash. And what have you been up to, Master Charles?
I've been studying art in Paris.
Paris, is it?
Do you live in a garret?
Actually, I've got some rather nice rooms on the Ile Saint-Louis.
I've never understood why artists feel the need to starve in garrets.
I suppose I always thought it was good for the soul, like fast days. Are your friends all bohemians and frightfully debauched?
What do you know about debauchery, child?
Half of them want to earn a living doing advertisements for Vogue and decorating nightclubs.
Modern art is all bosh, isn't it, Charles?
Great bosh.
Oh, I'm so glad. I had an argument with one of our nuns, and she said we shouldn't try and criticise what we didn't understand. Now I shall tell her I have it straight from a real artist, and snubs to her.
Ooh, Cordelia.
Presently, it was time for Cordelia to go to her supper, and for Sebastian and me to go down to the drawing room for cocktails.
What will you have, Charles?
Oh, just a...
That's odd, no cocktail tray.
Oh, it really doesn't matter.
Matter? Of course it matters. I'll ring for Wilcox.
How was Anthony?
He had a beard.
A beard?
It looked absurd.
I can't imagine him with a beard.
I made him take it off.
My lord?
Where's Wilcox?
Mr. Wilcox is upstairs with her ladyship.
Well, never mind. Bring the cocktail things.
Mr. Wilcox has the keys, my lord.
Oh, for goodness. Send him in with them when he comes down.
Yes, sir.
Did Anthony talk much about what he's been doing?
Incessantly. Most of it lies, I should imagine.
What happened to his German policeman?
He said something about it. Where on earth is Wilcox?
I'm sure he'll be dead.
I don't want a cocktail anyway.
Ah, Sebastian.
I'm off to my bath, Bridie. Perhaps you'd give Charles a drink.
I should go and dress, too.
Just a moment, Charles. There's something I've got to explain. My mother has given orders that no drinks are to be left in any of the rooms. You'll understand why.
I can guess.
If you want anything, ring and ask Wilcox. Only better wait until you're alone. I'm sorry, but there it is.
Is that necessary?
I gather very necessary. You may or may not have heard that Sebastian had another outbreak as soon as he got back to England.
I hadn't.
He was lost over Christmas. Mr. Samgrass only found him yesterday evening.
Are you sure this is the best way of dealing with it?
It's my mother's way. Now, will you have a cocktail now that he's gone upstairs?
Thanks for the offer, Bridie, but I think it would choke me.
In the second of four episodes of Brideshead Revisited by Evelyn Waugh, adapted for radio by Jeremy Front, Charles Ryder was played by Ben Miles. Sebastian was Jamie Bamber. Mr. Ryder, Benjamin Whitrow. Lady Marchmain, Eleanor Bron. Julia, Anne-Marie Duff. And Brideshead, Toby Jones. Lord Marchmain was Edward Petherbridge. Cara, Liza Sadovy. Rex Mottram, William Hope. And Mr. Samgrass, Thomas Arnold. Boy Mulcaster was Tom Smith. The Charge Officer, Martin Hyder. Death's Head, Emma Williams. And Sickly Child, Laura Doddington. Cordelia was Abby Ford. Nanny Hawkins, Anne Beach. And Wilcox, Andrew Wincott. The music was composed by Neil Brand. The director was Marion Nancarrow.